Hello, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm great. Thank you very much. Audience, today we're excited because we have Charles Blatcher on, Charles Blatcher III to be exact, and he is the National Coalition of Black Veterans Organizations chairman. And I think you're going to be very, very interested in what he has to say about not only an exciting project that he's undertaken, but also the role of black veterans, even in terms of our presence in Europe, and even in terms of some collections that are at the Imperial War Museum in London. So, Charles, thanks again for being on the program and for sharing your insight with us. So, tell me, how did you get to this point in history where you decided to take this direction with respect to your passion?
A number of years ago, I would say, when I say a number of years, I'm talking about 35 years ago.
That's a number.
Upon coming out of the military myself during the Vietnam era, I became interested in the plight of black veterans in terms of how we were merged back into the economic and social structure of the country. In the process of looking at our plight at that particular point in time, I became interested in taking a look at our history. You know, the history of our black involvement in the defense of this nation goes back to the colonial times.
Yes.
Many people don't know that there were black Minutemen. There were black soldiers that served in the Continental Army. In doing research and in making contact with many World War II black veterans back during that time, they began to enlighten me on certain facts, information relevant to their participation in World War II. And I asked myself, how come this information is not contained in American history as it's taught in public education? How come it's not accessible to the public, because it's extremely important. And in the process of taking that conversation beyond myself to the mayor of Oakland at the time, Mayor Lionel Wilson.
Oakland, California?
From California, yes. To be honest about it, I was more interested at that time in raising public awareness among the city people here in Oakland, California, in hopes of somebody in a more influential position taking leadership and working on this project to try to bring about an institution that could provide that level of information, not just to the community, but serve as a national outlet. Well, as fate would have it, everyone that I approached and tried to give this project to basically told me it's a good idea, it's something that needs to be done. When there's something we can do to help you, come on back and see us.
Let me just interject. So you recognized you had to take control of it yourself.
Yes, I did.
You had to make it happen.
Yes, yes. And
is that the birth of your organization?
That is the birth of the organization. We were founded on February 28, 1978.
Okay. And
the task of raising public.
Okay, you said raising public awareness of the contributions. So who's a part of this organization? I know they're black veterans, but any noted leaders among black veterans?
Yes, we have a number of high-ranking retired black generals. We have General Arthur Gregg, General Ward, William Ward. We recently had a program that was attended by Major General Swartz, Brigadier General Robert Cocroft, and we're affiliated with about 20 other black organizations located around the United States that have chapters throughout the nation.
That's great. And you have a signature project underway, yes?
Yes, we're working on we have two signature projects.
Okay.
One entails seeking an honorary promotion for the legendary soldier diplomat Colonel Charles Young. The other entails erecting a national monument in Washington, D.C., in honor of Colonel Young and the outstanding contributions of all black soldiers, men and women, in the defense of this nation.
Tell us a little bit about Colonel Young, please.
Colonel Young was an extraordinary individual for his time. He was the third black graduate of West Point. And he was the highest ranking black officer to serve in the United States Armed Forces during the early 1900s. Many people feel to this day, and us included, that had it not been for the racial climate of the era, Colonel Young would have been and should have been the first black general in the United States Armed Forces. And we have called on President Obama to redress that history and to rectify the injustice that was committed by offering him an honorary promotion to that rank.
And you mentioned the monument in his honor. I'm understanding that you recently looked at a clay modeling of that monument that was done by a sculptor.
Yes, we have been fortunate to secure the services of a master sculptor, Antonio Tobias Mendez. And he has fashioned the clay model, which will be formed into a bronze casting of Colonel Young on horseback. Upon its erection in the nation's capital, it will be the first statue of its kind of a black army officer on horseback in our nation's capital.
I had a chance to look at that clay model, and it's quite extraordinary. What was most interesting to me was that the military brass there took such detail in looking at the modeling to determine its authenticity. It was a very moving experience to see them do that, and you could sense how honored they were to be a part of this making of history.
That feeling was obvious in the room, and I appreciated the fact that the detail, that the manner in which the detail was attended to, was at such a high level.
Absolutely. I want to add, too, that model will be one of 13 leading up to the monument. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Why 13?
The number 13 symbolized the 13 original colonies that made up the United States. And it makes reference to the fact that we have been, our participation has been in the defense of this nation from day one. So the number is very symbolic.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me go to London for a bit, because I know you took some time to go there to do some research, correct?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I took some time and went to the Imperial War Museum to take a look at their collection to see what they had in regards to a black military history. Well, you know, since our focus is on U.S. history, some might think that going to the Imperial War Museum is an odd place to go looking for American military history, but I was made aware that there was some material in the holdings of the institution. So I was interested in seeing exactly what they had, so I made the trip over and spent about 2 weeks going through their inventory to take a look at the history that they contained. It was a very interesting experience because they had a wealth of material, and my first question to them was, how did you go about acquiring this information? Because I had also visited the National Archives, and some of the information I found in the Imperial War Museum was not contained in the National Archives here in America.
Interesting.
Well, I was told that at the conclusion of World War II, the United States government gave the information to the British government because they said that they were not going to bring it back to the United States until the British government, they could do whatever they wanted to do with it, which included destroy it. The British government chose to archive the material. And we're extremely fortunate that they did, because in going through some of the material, we found that some of the photographs in the collection are marked on the back not to be shown in the United States of America.
Amazing. Well, this really does speak volumes about the fact that if we don't tell our stories, who will? That there are so many contributions we've made to this country's greatness, but there would be those who would try to deny it, and in this case, say to the British, you can destroy it.
Yes, yes. you know, what we would ultimately like to do at some point in time is to form a partnership with some of our brothers and sisters or some of the people in England to see if we can augment an exhibit utilizing that material and possibly bringing it back to the United States. I think that that history should be brought home.
I agree.
And at some point in time, that's what we would love to be able to do in a partnership.
Are you listening, listeners? This is a charge to you guys. Charles Blatcher would like to team up with you to look at that history and how we collectively can go about sharing it.
You know, the benefit to there being so lack of attention that has been given to the history historically is that it allows us today to be able to take charge of the responsibility of interpreting our own history.
Yes.
You know, what's important and what I think people need to realize, the what factor in history is only important if you understand why.
That's true.
It's one thing to talk about the airplanes that the Tuskegee Airmen flew or the tanks that the 761st Tank Battalion rode in as they led the charge for General Patton and his charge across Europe. But it's another thing to understand the social condition that existed at the time that these men and these women were serving in the defense of this nation. And it's important in our estimation that the public understand, especially in light of the attempt that is going on in America right now to disenfranchise black and other minority voters. It's important that the public understand that the rights that we have secured as citizens of this nation are rights that have been earned. We have paid for those rights through our contribution in the defense of this nation. And we hope to raise public awareness about the history in hopes of being able to enlighten larger portions of the public about the fact that we have a commonality of interests and we have a commonality of responsibility to this nation, and we have an absolute right that has been earned to be allowed to cast our votes at the polls in every election that is held in this country.
It's also interrelated, and as I'm listening to you speak, I'm thinking of an article I read recently on black ex-servicemen feeling neglected, and they're talking about the British soldiers in this context. So as you speak, there is a thread that really links to brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora, the roles, the contributions we've played in defense of the countries in which we've lived, but yet still how very often we're denied the equal treatments. I know it's through organizations such as yours that those kinds of wrongs will be made right. So tell me, because we're about ready to end this conversation, which I'm sorry because it's so interesting, and if people want you to come back, we'll certainly bring you back. Tell me what the plans are. You said you have 13 clay modelings that you're going to have of Colonel Young, and you're going to have a monument in his honor in the nation's capital. All of this takes money. This takes resources to make this happen. How can people become involved?
Well, first of all, let me back up for a second. There's not 13 clay monuments. There's one clay model that will be used to produce 13 bronze marquettes.
Okay, so the model will be used, the master model, if you will be used to create the other 13.
Yes. And
okay, thank you.
What we're doing, we have, by way of letter to the President of the United States, we have offered to give the first marquette to the White House on behalf of the Coalition to the Nation. And from there, we will work on putting together a national fundraiser where we will be asking veterans to make a contribution to help bring the national monument into being. We really would like for this national monument to be a gift from the black veteran and the minority community to the nation. And we plan to kick off that national fundraising effort in February for Black History.
So this is a collaborative effort, not just the black veterans, but other key stakeholders who are vested in making this reality happen. So thank you for doing your part in giving that knowledge and understanding. Thank you so much, Charles, for being a part of One Link today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.